Steve, thanks very much. Hi, everybody. It's Thursday. I'm Bill. That's Wendy. If you want to contribute to the show, if you have any questions, if you have any comments, 312-981-7200, it'll get it done. Wendy, how are you?
Bill, you've got your groove back.
Well, that's nice of you to say. I like to think that I'm heading in that direction, but thank you for noticing that. Thank you.
How about all this rain?
Yeah, yeah. In a little while, our friends from Permaseal, you know the Spencers.
Hi, I'm Roy Spencer.
Wendy does the Roy Spencer impression. I think it's what put you on the map.
It did.
Go ahead and do it.
I'll wait till he's in. I can do it. We can have dueling Spencers.
We have accolades sent to us from the likes of Rich Little in our office, who said, I thought I was a great impressionist, and then I heard your Roy Spencer impression.
You ever hear from Fred Travellina?
No longer with us.
Can I tell you, every impression I do involves me saying the name of the person
I've noticed.
I mean, that's not good.
Do your Lena Horne impression.
I'm Lena Horne.
See, that's outstanding. Do your Felicia Middlebrooks.
I'm Felicia Middlebrooks.
So a lot of your impressions, and when I say a lot, I mean all of them, are you just saying the person's name?
That's bad.
No.
I got to work on this.
Come on. It's fine. It's fine. All right. So in a little while, we're going to have Andrew Santino on, who is a stand-up comic, started here in Chicago, and is doing very well for himself. He's got a TV show that you're wild about.
I'm dying up here. And the show is pretty good, too.
It's also called that.
Yeah, on Showtime. And he has a Showtime special, a comedy special, his debut, that Home Field Advantage.
Mm-hmm.
He's really funny.
I have not seen his work yet, but I'm anxious to meet him. I've heard very good things about him.
I feel like we have a connection. I will tell him that.
Oh, all right. All right. So he'll be on at 10:35. Now, at 11, I don't want to go into detail now. I just want to tell you this part of it. At 11 o'clock, 11:05, because Steve will have some news at 11. So at 11:05, I saw something on TV last night while I was flipping around. And have you ever seen something that has made you say this out loud? Wait, what?
Yes.
I said that out loud. I watched something on TV, on network television, and I thought my eyes were deceiving me. I'm like, I know I'm not seeing what I think I'm seeing on network TV. And then I said those words, wait, what?
I can't wait till 11 o'clock.
I wish it were 11 o'clock right now. And then I thought, like, as I'm watching this, I go, okay, I'm probably the only person who saw that. I don't think anyone else saw that, but I saw that. And then I went online because I go, this needs to be discussed on the air tomorrow. And other people were also saying, did I just see what I thought I saw on network TV?
Did someone go, what the what?
I didn't see anyone say what the what, but I definitely said, wait, what?
Okay.
Like that. I said that out loud. Because
WTH?
No.
What the heck?
I didn't say that. But I was startled. I didn't know what to make of it, and maybe other people saw it, but we'll discuss that at 11:05. That's all I can say.
You can't give us a channel or
don't give too much away because people do their research.
All I'll say, it was on one of your major TV networks. If it was on cable, I would have said, well, I can kind of see this on cable TV in 2017. I can see them getting away with this, but on the network?
Really?
Yes.
This is going to be the best show ever.
At 11, it's going to be a good show, but at 11:05, sparks are going to fly.
Is that a hint?
That's my prediction. No, there were no sparks. In what I saw, there were absolutely no sparks. But I was shocked and appalled, and then I thought about it, and I said, you know what, maybe I shouldn't be, but then I still was.
And then we have Dean at 11:30. I'm telling you, action-packed.
This, you know what this show is, Wendy? It's a juggernaut.
I'm okay with that.
Right. All right. So all that on today's show. Yes, Dean Richards, as we mentioned. Wendy will do an impression of Roy Spencer for Roy Spencer. That's coming up in a couple of minutes. I know that's going to go well.
I don't think he likes my impression, by the way, so maybe I shouldn't do it.
Wait, why do you say that? Has there been a memo?
I don't know. We'll talk off the air.
Now I'm anxious to find out what that's all about.
Stay tuned.
All right, so that's involved. Andrew Santino, a Chicago comedian who's doing well for himself with his own TV show and a comedy special. And like I said, at 11:05, something that appeared on network television yesterday that I was shocked and appalled, and then I wasn't, but then I was even more so.
All right.
That's a show, right? That's a pretty
And the
full
stream.
Show.
You're forgetting the stream.
And the stream. All right. We'll take a quick break. Should we take a break yet, or do we want to bring Roy Spencer in after this? What do we want to do? It's up to you.
I don't know what to do. Kevin, please advise. I say we take a break because, listen, I will tell you this. I got my basement perma-sealed, and yes, I use it as a verb now.
Mm-hmm.
It was perma-sealed 3 years ago. Prior to that, anytime it rained, I would be awakened in the middle of the night. The first thing I would do would be to run down in the basement.
You said this yesterday, that it was traumatic for you anytime there was rain, but now it's not that way.
Bill, we got 2 feet of water. It wasn't just one area. The whole floor of the basement was 2 feet.
Yeah.
A lot of people are having that trouble right now.
I watched on the news last night, a family whose yard was so underwater that they had to inflate their swimming pool. They had one of those blow-up swimming pools, and the only way they could get from the street to the house and back was to float in this little kid's swimming pool. I couldn't believe it. It was so startling. There was that much water. And again, we've talked about this. Anytime there's a storm in the area, sometimes on one block, it's just devastated and there's nothing. We got almost no water, almost nothing.
We didn't get much either. And then a few blocks away had some issues. It just totally depends. It depends how the village's sewer systems are.
We have a 5-inch rain gauge that was decimated.
Ugh.
Just overfilling.
Ugh.
Well, I feel sorry for the people. I mean, really, we got to the point where we would just put things that were of value up on pallets. So the kids were up on pallets.
Yeah.
And then we didn't have to worry about them getting wet. Actually, it was double pallets because it was terrible. So I know everybody's trying to do something now, and PermaSeal is probably very busy right now.
Is there more? Did I hear this right, that they said as bad as it was the last couple of days, there's more in the future, that they expect more rain? Is that true?
I don't know. I just know that, like, once you have water, it ruins your life. So you have to get a permanent solution. We'll talk to Roy Spencer of PermaSeal after this commercial break, and then action-packed show. I cannot wait till 11 o'clock, Bill.
Yep.
You have piqued my curiosity.
I hope I did. All right, stick around. Bill and Wendy, WGN. Speaking of food trucks, Wendy, on Tuesday, I live in Evanston, Illinois, Wendy, and on Tuesday they're doing their annual food truck festival. And one of the food trucks that will be there is our friends from Happy Lobster.
Are you kidding me?
I can't wait.
I may come visit you.
Come on by on Tuesday.
For the first time ever.
Because Happy Lobster will be there at the food truck festival in Evanston.
Deliciousness.
Can't wait. Also, really quickly, we were kidding yesterday. You did a My Pillow read, and I think you accidentally said Mind Pillow.
And then
said
you brought it back the next day because
right,
that's what you do.
I said
you spotlight all my mistakes, which I'm going to start doing to you.
It's full-time work. It is a long job. So I said, Mind Pillow is the new German version, and somebody texted in and wanted to know what it smelled like, and the answer is strudel. So if you want a strudel, My Pillow, Mind Pillow, it's a limited time offer, so act on it now.
I'd rather have a schnitzel flavored or scented.
I don't blame you.
All right, it's been raining like crazy. Lake County had some very deep water.
It's awful.
There's nothing worse than waking up and finding your basement completely flooded, and that happened to me, and I was sick of it, so I called Roy Spencer of PermaSeal, and hi, I'm Roy Spencer. Hi, Roy.
I don't know who's who.
Hi, Wendy. Hey, Bill.
Roy, I can't tell the difference between you guys.
I couldn't either.
Seriously, I don't know why we lived with flooding. You kind of say, oh, well, next time it won't be so bad. But it's weird how that happens, Roy, because it gets worse and worse and worse till we had 2 feet of water in our basement. There was a tornado warning. We all went down in the basement, and then all this water started coming up. So me, two kids, a husband, and a dog were all sitting on the stairs, and that was the breaking point, and I said, I'm calling PermaSeal.
Wow.
Can I tell you now?
I'm sorry I got that far.
Yeah, but, you know, and here's the thing. Granted, we needed everything. We didn't have a sump pump. We needed the drain tile, sewer backup. We needed everything. But a lot of times people don't call because they're so worried it's going to be so expensive. And sometimes it's not, you don't need everything. Isn't that right?
No, it's totally true. And you can get a lot of water from a little problem, and you could have need extensive repair for even sometimes a relatively minor amount of water. So it's really dependent upon the situation. And even now with all this terrible flooding that's going on, it's flooding for different reasons. And basically there's one of four, I would say, One, of course, if you live next to a river or a creek bank that typically just overflows, and, you know, you live on Kankakee River or any of the riverways that run through us, and, I mean, your front door is underwater, and it's coming over the top of the wall because, you know, you're just in a high river plain like that, floodplain. Not much to be done there, you know, short of sandbagging and things like that. But most other people, they have inches or feet of water in their basement due to other reasons. One could be municipal sewer backup, like in your home. Nothing you are doing, but the city sewers are just old, and they couldn't handle the water, so all the rainwater goes in the sewers, and that backs up through your floor drain and your bathroom fixtures and stuff, and then literally you can get inches and feet of water in your basement, and that can be fixed.
When that happens, the city in any way responsible? Do they pick up any of the tab on that or not? They don't do any, do they?
No.
No. That's not
fair. I've learned that with cities, the answer is pretty much always no. They're not responsible. And seriously, and it's an increasing problem because of the aging infrastructure, and not just the city of Chicago, but
everywhere.
More and more of the suburbs. You know, the sewers are old. You know, they're put in 80 years ago, and they've all built up, and they just can't handle it, and they don't have the funds to rip up and redo all their sewers and get the capacity needed. And so it's an increasing problem. Some of the suburbs and cities have rebate programs. Well, they can give you financial assistance, and we're aware of those. So if you do need a system like that, the city or village may or may not have a rebate program to help you assist, because they feel bad too, because it's their infrastructure that's inadequate, but they don't have the funds to fix the problem. You know, they don't have a deep tunnel project like the city has and things like that, but a lot of times that's what's required. But fortunately, there is an individual solution that you can protect yourself. It may not, you know, solve the city's problem or the neighborhood's problem, but you can keep your sewers from backing up into your home. Yeah. And then the other situation is the pump failure. Obviously, you know, some people flood just because their pumps failed, and that's obviously an easy thing, or, you know, that's avoidable with the right equipment and the backup pump and things like that. And then the final reason for flooding might be window well flooding. Water just crashed in through a basement window because the drains weren't kept maintained and things like that. So all those short of river flooding and above grade flooding are all things that, you know, can be fixed and we can help you with.
You know, my grandfather was a White Sox fan, so I'm a White Sox fan. My grandparents and my parents used PermaSeal when they had issues at our house, and that has stayed in the family. And PermaSeal is a trusted company. I'm telling you, Roy, right after we got our basement PermaSealed, and I do use it as a verb, the city started working on the sewers out in front of our house, and I looked at Jimmy Mack and I said, what timing? And he's like, I don't care what they're doing. We're completely safe now. We don't have to worry about what they're doing. So you do have to worry about your own basement.
Yeah, you really do. And like I say, there's several, you know, avenues that water can come in, and what the city does, you know, it is good, but, you know, you need to do what you need to do to protect your own home. And so thank you for the endorsement. We've been in business for 38 years, and I just encourage people, you know, as they're going through this cleanup process and they're thinking, oh, geez, I don't want this to happen again, is to be patient and don't rush out there and go with somebody who can do it quick or makes you some promises and things, because it's going to take a while to clean up. And you want to, if you're going to address the problem, you want to do it permanently with a company that's going to be there to stand behind it, because too many people get taken advantage of in situations like this, and that just adds to their misery. So just, you know, be patient and be careful out there.
Right. Is every house fixable, or are there some dwellings where you go in and you say, I got to be honest, we just can't help you.
You better move.
typically just the ones that where they say you have the above grade flooding, you know, next to rivers and creeks, you know, we can't stop, you know, a river or something from overflowing. And so that's something we can't help them with and things. But pretty much everything else can be solved. Yeah.
I'll never forget pre-PermaSeal. Every time it would rain, it seemed like all the neighbors would meet out on our street and we'd all kind of confer and go, did you get any water? How much did you get?
Yeah.
And ever since we got PermaSeal, which has been about 3 years ago, not one single drop of water ever. And I will tell you this, there's a neighbor who used someone else and they have had water. So I am confident I made the right choice, Roy.
Well, you did, Wendy, and we certainly appreciate it. And, yeah, that's the big thing. I just, you know, there's too much folklore out there that all basements leak, or this is just what happens when it rains, and it really doesn't have to be. We have over 300,000 customers that have dry basements, even with all this rain and things like that. So it's not something you need to live with, and it's certainly not something you should live with. And as you found, you know, it's not something that's going to get any better. It will only get worse. And if you get water one time, you will get water again. And sometimes, unfortunately, like they find in Lake County, you know, it happens like it never happened before. So it's worth looking into, just know your basement should be as dry as your upstairs.
Roy, I heard this once in a commercial, so tell me what you think of this. They used the line that eventually all sump pumps fail. How is that possible? Why can't a sump pump make a sump pump that just lasts forever?
Super sump.
Super sump. Why can't they do that?
Well, I guess, Bill, because they have motors in them. If you think about it, what motor do we have that lasts forever? And it just doesn't. So it's not a matter of, and that was probably our commercial.
It was. It definitely was.
Yeah. It's not a matter of if, but when.
Yeah.
And like I say, and that's why we recommend if you have a pump to have a backup pump and things and have it checked and stay on top of it, because it's a relatively minor expense to replace a sump pump or, you know, have a battery backup on there, you know, when you consider the alternative when it does fail. So just know it's a mechanical device, and all mechanical devices, and they're electrical, and, you know, so you're subject to power failures and other things. Even if the motor doesn't fail, the power can fail.
Sure.
So a lot of things can go on there, and they're all avoidable if you have the proper backup protection and things. So, you know, it's just better be over-prepared that way.
Oh, yeah.
Think that it will fail and prepare for that.
Yep.
And, it's a lot easier to think that way. Yeah.
We've got Roy Spencer on the line, owner, operator, president of PermaSeal. And
spokesmodel.
Yes, he is.
Spokesmodel also.
And Mark is on the line. He's called us. He has a question. Mark, I think we were in the same boat. Our house was built in 1862 or something. Go ahead. We only have about a minute.
Right. Yeah, just real quick. I lived in my home in Mount Prospect, built in 1870. Never really had any serious water issues as long as I made sure the downspouts were diverted far enough away from the house. And my question is, since then, I've moved to a home in Great Lake, and fortunately, I didn't have flooding yesterday, but I was obviously watching my sump pump, you know, all day long. Why can't homes be built in a manner like those homes in the 1800s when they didn't need sump pumps because obviously they didn't have electricity?
Well, you know, back then they weren't putting their man caves and big screen TVs in there. So I don't think basements were necessarily dry back then. They were called cellars, and they were used for root cellars, and they were kind of cool, damp places and things like that. We have much higher expectations for our basements. I will give credit to those people who built their homes out of stone, because, like, say, 100 years later, those foundations are still standing and things. But typically they are still going to leak a little bit and have dampness and things like that. So modern homes, the technology is actually better. You have solid concrete, 8 inches of solid concrete, which will keep all the moisture out and water out, provided that, you know, the cracks are repaired. And yeah, you do need a sump pump because hydrostatic pressure can build up and come up through the floor. So it does depend on where you live is where, you know, what pumping capacity you need and things like that. But believe it or not, basements are drier than they were back then. We just have much higher expectations, and people didn't typically live in their basements back then like we do now.
That's a great point.
Wendy used her basement to quarter Union soldiers years ago.
No, but Mark, to your point also, I live in LaGrange where there are old houses, and there weren't, you know, 20 houses on a block
right.
back then. There were just like four out. Houses. So now everybody's flushing their toilet at the same time.
Yep.
You need protection.
Yeah, you're right. There's a lot more build-up. And every time somebody builds something else or paves a parking lot or whatever, there's that much less ground that can absorb water, puts that much more pressure around your foundation. So, yeah, you know, you might be in an area that never had a problem, and all of a sudden it's built up around you, and all of a sudden you've got water pressure and resultant seepage that was, you know, never there before.
Thank you for your call, Mark. All right, Roy Spencer, PermaSeal. You can go to permaseal.net, but don't wait. As Bill mentioned, there's more rain in the forecast, and I bet you guys are pretty busy right now.
We are, and so, you know, please call us, get you on our list, and we'll get out there as quick as we can and be patient. But when we do get out there, we'll design a permanent system so that you know, by the time the next storm rolls around, you'll be in good shape and have the peace of mind you deserve. So, Bill, Wendy, thanks very much for giving me this opportunity.
Thanks, Roy. Take care of yourself. Thanks for being on with us.
Thank you.
It's Roy Spencer from PermaSeal.
1-800-421-SEAL. Really, call them. Don't wait till it starts raining again. Just do it now. Make an appointment. You'll be very happy you did.
They are a, I was going to say proud sponsor. They're a sponsor. I'm not sure if they're proud.
They're proud.
They sponsor us. Right.
I'm also a client.
Right. How about that? We'll take a quick break. We've got news coming up. And then Andrew Santino joins us. Very funny guy. Stick around. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.
Thank you, Steve. It's Bill Leff. It's Wendy Snyder. And, Bill, you've known me a long time. When is the last time I took notes for an interview?
I don't remember ever seeing
ever.
This before.
I am so excited.
Wow.
Andrew Santino is here. So nice to meet you.
So nice to meet you. I'm happy that you took notes. I feel like very privileged that you
I have never done this. I really just kind of wing it usually, but there are so many things I want to talk to you about.
Awesome.
Where do you want to start? I'm Dying Up Here or your comedy special?
We can do both. You're leading this. You're leading the charge.
What's at the top of your note page? What does it say at the very top?
I'm Dying Up Here, Showtime.
Let's do that.
Yeah, let's do that one.
All right, Bill, you did stand up for 10 years.
Yeah.
I had a friend who did it, and so I would go to these open mic nights with her, Carla Felicia, and I would see comedians sitting at the bar. It was like a group of people. Yeah. I feel like you captured it so well in there. Your character, though, very interesting.
Yeah, that's a word. Yeah, he's an angry, sardonic, mean, rude, jealous person, and I think that captures a lot of comedians' personalities, but the show kind of takes the world of 1973 at the beginnings of stand-up, so to speak, in Los Angeles, and they show you kind of what it was like to be around at that time when everything was beginning. It was a new frontier, you know? Stand-up was brand new in the sense from that, you know, public's perspective. It was finding its legs, and people were, you know, discovering what kind of performer they were going to be, and you know, we kind of are trying to put on display the birth of stand-up in 1973.
And guys in 1973, Andrew, weren't necessarily doing it as a means to lead to TV shows or movies. It ended up that way for
right.
some of them, but that wasn't the mindset.
No, the mentality was just to be funny and get famous.
Yeah.
And get famous in stand-up. That was it. It was like, how funny can I get and how famous can I get and can I get to Carson? Carson's
right.
kind of was the holy grail, you know? So for them, it was just working to Carson. Nowadays, it's working to get on television and film and
right.
so your name gets bigger. But also because the pool is so big now, there's so many people doing stand-up.
Right.
But back then, it was a little bit more exclusive. And if you got on Carson, that was the golden ticket, man. That was it. You did Carson
yeah.
one time and it was like poof, to the moon, you
yeah.
know? Well, especially if you got the couch.
Right.
Yeah. If you didn't get waved over, you know, that was a different story. That was, you know, you were still doing well, but it was also like that was room for your friends to mock you.
Right.
You know?
So the two guys that were the premier guys to come out of that era were Richard Pryor and George Carlin.
Definitely.
And in 1973, they were getting there, but they weren't there yet. There was no Leaders to the Promised Land at that point.
No, I think the beauty of what the show does show is we have an episode with this great actor that does a Richard Pryor. And we show that, like, he wasn't Richard Pryor yet. He was in the comedy world. To the
yeah.
comedians, they were like, oh, my God, it's Richard Pryor, because he was respected in that circle. But to the public, it was just a very funny guy that they were like, oh, I think I've heard of that guy. And we're trying to show that in-between stage. You know, America really only sees you if you're famous. You know
yeah.
what I mean? You don't really get to see someone when they're on their way up. Unless you're listening to WGN radio, and then you get to see me on my way.
Sure, of course.
But I think that's the beauty of the show is we get to show people how these people started out, and we're all kind of derivative of someone. We're based
yeah.
on characters,
yeah.
quote unquote, but we are not the physical representation of someone. I am derivative of many other comics. We like to say I'm like a Bill Hicks, if you remember
oh,
Bill.
Sure, of
yeah.
course.
And my name is Bill, which is a total coincidence.
Bill Hobbs.
But, yeah, it's a coincidence. But yeah, yeah. But that was the inspiration because Bill was very, you know, dark and angry. And that's kind of my, that's the vibe
yeah, but
of
the
my
jealousy,
character.
The jealousy
oh,
that you have for Sparky, your dad's dog. See, I'm
yeah.
a dog lover, Bill, not so much. But I can see why Bill Hobbs wouldn't like Sparky.
Yeah, yeah. He's a very jealous guy. Well, his father never showed him any love. His
right.
dad showed his dog more love than he ever showed him. I think that's many young comics' issues, that their father never showed him enough love. My dad did, though. I love you, Dad. But, yeah, I think we try to show a little bit of the pain behind some
there's,
of the laughter.
There's a lot of pain.
There is. I mean, it's a drama. It's very much a drama. People think it's a comedy because it's produced by Jim Carrey, so they're like,
yeah.
it's going to be hilarious. And then people watch it and they're like, that's not, it's not funny. It's like, well, it's not supposed to be a comedy. This isn't Big Bang Theory. This is a, this is not a traditional sitcom. It's about the dramatic world that exists beyond it. And there is some really funny moments. There's a lot of comedic relief, but yeah, we're just trying to show a different angle, you know?
Now, is Goldie based on anyone in particular? The head of the comedy club?
Yes, so Goldie is the head of the club on the television show. Melissa Leo, who plays Goldie, is an
awesome
Academy Award winner. She's brilliant.
And good on All My Children years and years and years ago.
Yes.
Yeah. Is that where I saw her before?
She started out on All My Children.
Did, yeah.
Cliff Warner's younger sister.
Yeah. And then, I mean, she's a brilliant actress. She's amazing. And then... she would tell you that Goldie is her own character, but
there's some Mitzi Shore.
We would say comics would say it's based on Mitzi Shore,
the mother of
derivative
the,
of yeah, the Pauly Shore's mom who owns the Comedy Store in Los Angeles.
Yeah,
because that's kind of the hub of where stand up started in L.A., so to speak. I mean, Bud Friedman and the Improv was a thing, and then years later the Laugh Factory. But you know, yeah, she was kind of this wonderful matriarch who put the foot down. She was tough as nails. I mean, she still is. She's tough as nails, but she's not around as much anymore. But that's where Goldie kind of comes from. You know?
And she has a heartfelt side as well.
Yeah, I mean, she's human. Yeah, she's human. She has love in her heart. She just I think to be a woman in the comedy business at any era is probably one of the hardest things in the world because it's a boys' club. It always has been, and in 1973, it absolutely was a boys' club. So for a woman to own a comedy club and to run it was, you had to be kind of tough. I mean, I think you had to be kind of a jerk.
And learn how to play cards.
That's right. Yeah, you had to be good at poker. Right, yeah. You had to be real good at rummy. Yeah.
So can I ask, for you, a guy who's a stand-up present day in the 2000s, what do you have to do style-wise to adopt the stance of a comedian in the 70s? It's a whole different kind of game, isn't it?
It is. Yeah, I mean, I listen, I watch back a lot of stand-up, and, you know, I'm a stand-up fan, so I'd always watched stand-up. I've been in love with it, you know, since I was a kid. But for us, it was difficult to read material that isn't your own and to try to make it somewhat your own of that character without having your voice leak in there. Because there's three stand-ups on the show, myself, Al Madrigal, and Eric Griffin, and it's tough because you think your stand-up brain, right as you get material, you're like, I could fix a few of these things. But then you got to think, no, it's of the time and it's of that ilk and you can't manipulate it. And so people will often be like, the stand-ups, it's okay on the show. It's not that funny. It's like, well, because it's not now.
Right.
You're used to now.
Right.
This is what it was then. It was a little bit more broad. It was a little on the nose, so to speak. You know, stand-up has developed over the years. Al Madrigal, who's a comic on the show, he always says, you know, it really doesn't hold up. Stand-up doesn't hold up all the time. So, like, a lot of bits you would never laugh at now, but then it was hysterical. So, you know, a lot of the comedy, you know, is very of 1973, but some of it does transfer over till today. It's just hard to make your voice unique from your own. Yeah.
I like the clothes and the hair, too, from the 70s. I miss that.
It's coming back.
It's coming right back. Yeah, it's coming right back.
Andrew Santino is our guest, comedian, actor, writer, producer, former Chicagoan. He's playing at the Improv tonight through Sunday. You want to go to chicagoimprov.com for all your ticket information. We'll talk more about him and I'm Dying Up Here and his new special. Stick around. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.
All right, it's Bill Leff, it's Wendy Snyder. I probably shouldn't compare shows like this, but the now-canceled Vinyl, which was on another network...
We don't talk about that other network.
...with Bobby Cannavale. I really like that because I've been doing radio for 30 years, so I could really get into that. But watching I'm Dying Up Here, which is on Showtime...
That's right.
Which I'm waiting for a new episode. They didn't drop a new one yet.
Sunday, there'll be another one. There'll be a new one on Sunday. We had to take a break, I think, because of the 4th of July. You know, people were out barbecuing, Wendy. Weren't you out with your family and having a good time with your friends?
Yeah, and then I rushed home to get home and watch the new episode of
I get
of
it.
I'm
Family's not that
here.
Important to you is what you're saying. I understand. I get it.
You cracked the code.
Yeah, that's it. That's the secret.
Family is very important to you because with your new special, this is your debut stand-up comedy special, Home Field Advantage, was filmed at the Vic
at
in July.
Yep.
That's awesome.
Yeah, thank you.
Speaking of family, someone of very great importance to you introduced it. I don't want to give anything away, so you can say what
you
want.
No, we can give it away. My girlfriend introduces me, my grandmother, who is the love of my life, Mary Garrity, who I went out to lunch with yesterday. We had a mediocre lunch. The food wasn't that good, but we had a great time together. Yeah. But she introduced me because I wanted to be brought out in kind of glorious fashion, and I thought there's no one better to do it than my grandmother, who's the best.
But then you go dirty right away. Did they escort her out
Absolutely.
Or something?
Absolutely, yeah. And we put her in a soundproof booth. No, are you kidding me? This was the funny thing, is I went back and forth on that. I was like, God, what is my Nana going to think? You know, but then she stayed for the first show, and, you know, I think she just doesn't listen when it's nasty, and then she doesn't listen when it's clean, and I said, thank you so much, Nana. Let's get you in a car. Let's get you out of here, whatever. And she's like, no, I'm going to stay for the second show. So
Once she
hit the stage, she wanted the bright lights, man. She was like, let's do it again. So it was amazing. It was great because I had my whole family there. People came out. You know, people that I grew up with came out.
Isn't that nice?
It was wonderful. Yeah, it really, really was. It'll never be like that again. If I do another special, it'll probably just be, you know, random people. Family will just be like, we've seen it.
Yeah,
we're not coming to see you
again. We've lived through this before.
Yeah.
Do they give you any solid advice? Does your family, who's never done stand-up, ever see your act and go, I think I can help you with something?
Well, you know, everyone offers you tips.
Sure.
People always say, can I tell you a joke? Or, you know what would be funny? Mm-hmm. Or I remember when I first started in stand-up and I moved to Los Angeles. I don't remember what member of my family, but someone in my extended family was like, you know, you should do Ellen. And I was like, yeah, let me just call up Ellen. I'll just ring Ellen and see if I can get on Ellen. Like, I think people have this this idea that, like, you go to Hollywood and you're like, can't you just, like, knock on their door and walk in? It's like, no, it's such an arduous process. But my family's always been super supportive, man. They've unlike most comics, maybe, I don't know. You know, my family's been gung-ho since day one. They were like, go do it. Yeah,
that's
great.
Nice.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I couldn't do anything else. I'm too dumb to do anything else. So if it's not this, I don't know. I couldn't imagine what I'd be doing.
Having a redheaded son myself, you do a real funny segment about redheads. You know?
Yeah, I do some ginger bits. We're a specific breed, man. We're a very unique breed that's hated by a lot but loved by a very few. And you have one, so you don't have a choice, right?
I know.
When he came out, were you like, oh my God?
I wanted to send him back. I always told my mom if I had a redhead, I don't. And she passed away before he was born, and I think she made sure he was a redhead.
Smart. Yeah, that's the universe paying you back. You're
it
like,
is.
I could never have a redhead. And
right.
She was like,
I know.
You go.
And you know what? I can't imagine his hair being in any other color. But
listen, when I was a kid, I hated it. I hated it so much. When you're a kid, because you glow in the streets, everyone has something to say. My grandfather, who passed away, who I love very dearly, was very funny, and he used to make fun of me because I had big ears and huge feet, and I was, you know, like 100 pounds soaking wet, and had this glowing red hair, and he's like, you look like a cab coming down the street with his doors open.
That's nice.
Massive ears.
That's
beautiful. Yeah, he used it. And my feet, I had huge feet when I was a kid. Like, not, you know, 12 and a half. Now it looks normal as a grown up.
Right.
When I was a kid, they were like 10. They were huge. He was like, you can water ski on those things with big, dumb feet. Yeah, so I was, had the typical hatred for my own red hair. I hated being mocked when I was a kid. And then as an adult, it's like a gift.
Cause
to me,
that's cool.
Now it's so individual. It's so.
Gave you a nickname.
The Cheeto Santino. That's exactly right. I'm the Cheeto, baby, on social media. Yeah,
there's role models,
I embrace it.
Andrew, there's like Ralph Malph and stuff. There's people to look up to if you've got red hair. There's
no,
Opie.
But you know what's funny is when I talk about it now, it is crazy that my favorite stand-up comedians are redheads. Someone said to me like at a show, someone was like, well, I don't know if a redhead's going to be funny. I was like, have you ever heard of Louis C.K. or Bill Burr?
Yeah.
The funniest people on
Griffin?
The earth, maybe? Yeah, I was like... Have you not heard of these human beings? They're the ones dominating the game. So I think the time is now for redheads because I know people want to get rid of us. We're gone by 2020 or something.
You saw that story too where they said in a couple of years you're not going to have any more redheaded people.
Right.
That's impossible.
I think there are more redheaded people now than there
used
to be.
So do I. I see them everywhere and they freak me out. I want to get rid of them. I want to be – it's me. It's got to
be –
I want to be the only one. I am the one.
That's your hook.
No, I think they were saying that that redheads were slowly going extinct, but you can't
impossible.
Kill off an obsessive gene. It's going to happen when it happens.
Right.
It just sneaks in there.
We're going to stand strong. It happened to you.
I know.
It happened to you. It can happen to any of us.
And I am also half Italian, and I look about as Italian as you do.
I know. I know my last name is Santino, and every time people are like, how are you a Santino? You're not a mix something. You're not, you know.
And, right.
And I always say, this is what happens when a little Irish girl wants to get back at her father. She sleeps with the biggest Italian in town. And then they make a full-size leprechaun. This is it. This is me.
Sonny Corleone.
Sonny
one
Corleone.
Of the greatest Italians of all time.
That's
a
right.
redheaded Italian.
That's
Santino,
exactly.
actually.
Santino,
is his real name.
Yeah. The name Santino is of a lot of worth to me because... I got killed in The Godfather,
yep.
But I'm happy to be a part of The Godfather because that was one of my favorite movies of all time.
You get nervous at toll booths a little bit?
I don't go to toll booths.
No, you can't.
Nah, that's why the iPass. Thank God for the iPass. I don't stop anywhere. I keep going.
And being Catholic, and I just have to say this because I have some advice for you. You talk about this prayer that I used to say too every time before I go to bed, and even to this day, I got to be honest with you, I still say that every night. I really
now
do.
Now I lay me down to sleep.
Go ahead.
My mother used to make me say, now I lay me down to sleep, I pray the Lord my soul to keep, and if I die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to take. And I say in my special how that's the craziest thing to make a child say before they go to bed, because they're going to die in the middle of the night.
Right.
Like you're praying.
What a happy thought.
You're not praying, don't let me die. You're actually saying, when I die in the midst of the night, please let the Lord keep my soul safe. I mean, it's crazy. And I'm seven, and I'm worried about dying. This is where all this anxiety comes from, Mom. That's where it all stems from.
Your special, though, spoke to me on that particular issue, because when Michael was born, my redhead, I wanted to pass along that prayer to him. And yeah. I said to my husband, I'm like, Jim, I feel fun. It's scary for a little two-year-old or three-year-old.
Right.
So I made a version that I made up that I would like to share with you.
Oh, yeah.
So if you have kids someday.
Please.
Now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. Angels are watching from up above to bless me and everyone I love.
See, why couldn't that have been it?
That's nicer.
That's way
better.
That's
so much nicer.
I would have loved to say that as a kid. No, but my mom was making me recite death poems.
I know.
Right before sleep.
It was terrible.
It's the best time. Andrew, it's so nice to meet you. And Wendy, I don't know if you got to all the notes on your sheet.
I didn't. There was more.
So come back next time.
I would love to.
You?
Please.
I would love to.
Love the show. I'm dying up here. And check out Andrew Santino's special. It's also on Showtime. Home Field Advantage. Love it.
Thank you.
Good luck to you.
Thank you very much.
Nice to finally meet you. We'll take a quick break, then some news. It's Bill and Wendy, WGN. Steve, thanks. Hi, everybody. It's us. It's Bill and Wendy. We're at 312-981-7200. I'm anxious to see if anybody saw what I saw last night right there on the network TV, Wendy. Now, I mentioned this at the top of the show. I didn't want to go into specifics because I wanted to spend a little bit of time discussing this. Because at first, as I was watching this, I'll even give you the network. It was NBC, Channel 5.
NBC.
Exactly. It was that.
Dun, dun, dun.
So the Peacock Network. Proud as a peacock, but I wonder if they were proud last night. I'm flipping around. I'm watching a little bit of this, a little bit of that. There was no real baseball, so I'm lost. I don't know what I'm going to watch.
Break in between the All-Star Week and regular schedule?
Yeah, regular baseball starts again today. So, you know, there was not a whole lot to watch. I'm just a couple of minutes of the ESPN Awards and then a couple of minutes of something else. So there's a show that's on that I've never seen in its entirety. I've seen a minute here and I've seen a minute there, but I just haven't spent much time with it, and that's a show called The Carmichael Show. It's with a man named Jared Carmichael, who is a stand-up comic and an actor. And prior to this, all I knew about Jared Carmichael is he has an HBO special that is running, and he's really good. He's really good. He does a brand of stand-up that I'm not accustomed to. It's a very slow process where it almost seems as though he's thinking of it on the spot. I mean, I've done stand-up, so I know some of it is happening on the spot, but I know he's not doing his own special on the spot. But his delivery is so slow, and he takes so much time, and it works for him. He also does this thing that's brilliant where he makes a statement that makes you angry. Like four or five times during his special on HBO, he says something that's so outrageous, and you go, what? You can't say that. And then by the time he explains it, you go, I'm with him on that. I agree with
he
him.
He turns you completely around.
He does that a bunch. And he's a really good stand-up, right? And in watching his show, like I said, just in little bits and pieces, I go, he's got some acting chops, too. He's pretty talented. Jared Carmichael's his name. All right, so last night on NBC, they run back-to-back episodes of The Carmichael Show. So I tune in right as one episode is ending and another is beginning. In between the two episodes, NBC does this thing that they've been doing for years where it's a public service announcement. And I think the title of these is The More You Know or something like this.
Oh, yeah. I've seen them.
All right. So it starts out. There's like a glittery start. It's like a star field or something with colors. And it says something like The More You Know. And then they tell you something that's good for you.
It's like a rainbow shooting star kind of thing.
I think that started in like LeVar Burton days.
It's been on forever.
Yeah.
It's been on forever. So they tell you a little, here's some little valuable information for you that'll make your life better. And then they tell you something, and then you get the colorful glitter stars again. And then you go, yeah, I guess it's not good to have a sharp pen and hit yourself in the eye with a sharp pen. I will heed LeVar Burton's warning and not do that anymore.
Because how could you read? And he did the Reading Rainbow.
Right. Exactly. Precisely. All right. So last night's The More You Know is Jared Carmichael, who comes out and he tells you about drugs. Now, for years and years and years, when they would do a public service announcement about drugs, it was just say no. So Jared Carmichael comes out and he goes, when it comes to drugs, there's three words that you need to know. And I go, well, I know what they are. It's just say no. I've been around. I know. Just say no. He says, just say when. So I go, oh, they changed it. It's not just say no anymore. It's just say when. And then he explains that a lot of times you'll be out at a party with people that are using drugs, and it's okay to use drugs because it'll make you more creative, I think he says. And he goes, but the important thing is you have to know what your limit is, that you can't just keep using drugs. At some point, you have to say to yourself, I've used some drugs, but I think I've hit my limit, so I'm going to stop. Just say when. So then I go, oh, that's an interesting approach, that they wouldn't go with the war on drugs of don't do drugs, but use some drugs because it'll enhance your experience, but know when to say when. And then at the end of it, like as I'm soaking that in, going, boy, for a long time it was just say no, but I guess they've given up on that, right? So then at the end of it, he then reaches in his pocket and he pulls out one of those marijuana cigarettes and he lights it up and he starts smoking it. And I go, wait a minute, what?
How did NBC let him do
that? I don't know.
That?
Now, all right, so
it was part of his show, obviously.
I couldn't figure out if it was a parody of those ads.
It has to be.
Or if it was actually an ad, but it was on with the other commercials, right? So I went to the best source of information anywhere in the world, Wendy, is the internet. So I went to the internet to see if what I was seeing was true, and people were divided. Some people were going, no, it was a joke. Jared Carmichael wasn't saying to use drugs. He was saying, don't use drugs. And then other people were saying, oh, no, but I saw him. Because at first I'm going, well, I don't think you can do, you know, on TV now, you can't even show a guy in a beer commercial. If you've got a beer commercial for beer, you can't even show a guy drinking beer.
Really?
They show him, yeah.
I never
show
noticed
him
that.
Pouring a beer and lifting it up as if to say, here's to you, beer. And then they're about to drink it, but they never show people drinking it, right? So I'm going, in 2017, where a guy on a Budweiser commercial can't drink beer, can a guy stand outside and say, you can use some drugs, but not a lot of drugs, but I will illustrate my point by pulling this out, lighting it, and smoking it? It was very peculiar.
His show got canceled, so are they just throwing that in? Is that why it got canceled?
I know that a couple of weeks ago they announced that this will probably be the end of the line for the Carmichael show. So usually they say they're burning off episodes, but based on what we're saying now, I can't use that terminology because it's got two meanings.
Yeah.
They are literally exactly. Burning off episodes.
Well, how does NBC allow that?
I don't know.
I don't think they knew about it.
Well, you have to... Standards and Practices insists anytime you run something on the network, one of the censors get to see it and decide whether or not it's suitable for air, right?
But he snuck it in.
I don't think you can sneak something in on the networks. I think on cable, you could probably sneak something in. But when it comes to your ABC, your CBS, your NBC, and your Fox, I think somebody higher up has to see it and go, yeah, that's not appropriate. You know, that's like the Family Hour. Was it 7:30 at night or something? I think it was.
It has to be a parody, and it has to be. But now,
but even if it was a parody, it still showed him lighting a marijuana cigarette and smoking it, which I don't remember ever seeing on a network TV show.
SNL, they do fake smoking,
but it's out of prime. It's at 10:30.
Oh yeah,
it's
yeah,
out
yeah.
of prime time.
Safe Harbor.
It's safe. It is. It really is. It's considered after 10 o'clock. It's considered safe harbor.
But now, was this sandwiched in between? Like, was there another commercial after it?
Yeah, there were other commercials.
Or did it go back into the show?
And then it was then the second episode.
So right after his piece, did it start the second episode? Because maybe he tacked that on the intro. That does not seem right.
I don't know what to make of it.
I don't like it,
Bill. The first part alone, like the very first part, I go... Isn't it interesting that for years and years and years they flat out said, just don't do drugs. Say no to drugs. And now they're not even saying no. They go, you know, we tried saying no to drugs, but somehow drugs continued to persevere. So now we're saying some drugs, I think they said it makes you more creative.
That is not a message I'm sure NBC wants to be putting out
there. I'd be startled if it was. And I don't know who the average watcher of the Carmichael show is, but I got to think it's a lot of kids that are of the age where they're still making a decision or not as to whether or not they're going to smoke marijuana. So when you see one of your favorite stars up there going, it's okay, look, I've got some, it's fine.
Now, according to newsbusters.org, do you have an update on this?
Who are you going
to
call?
Newsbusters. Na-na-na-na-na.
That's right.
Should we take a break? And then I have some update on this information.
I'd love to hear what they say. Because I printed out a story, too. It's probably the same one. Yeah, it's from Newsbusters.
All right, so you do have a solution to this. Because this is, what did you say when you saw it?
I said, wait, what?
I would have said the same thing.
I said that really loud. Because I couldn't believe the first part that the war on drugs has now, they're waving the white flag going, well, you know, for a long time we said marijuana, but come on, we give up. Use some. Don't use none. Use some.
Well, if it becomes legal everywhere.
Right.
I think that is.
Then there will be ads for it?
Well, no, but that almost makes sense.
Right.
Because if people are going to do it, yes, teach them don't go overboard
right.
with it, but
I
it's
guess.
Still illegal.
It is
Illinois,
in most states. Yeah. All right. We'll discuss this more if you want to jump in. Did anyone else see this? I know it wasn't just me. 312-981-7200. It's Bill F. and Wendy Snyder on WGN. Let me quickly catch you up. Last night, as I'm flipping around the dials, I'm taken by the show Carmichael. This is Jared Carmichael. He's a stand-up comic, very funny stand-up comic. Good actor. He's got his own TV show on NBC. So in between two episodes, they do one of those public service announcements that NBC's been doing for years. They're called The More You Know. You get kind of a sparkly rainbow at the beginning, and then you get a famous TV star or movie star sometimes telling you something that's beneficial to your health, and then they give you that star field again with all the colors. In this one that I saw, it was Jared Carmichael, who was explaining that when you're out and about, you might encounter drugs. Don't just say no, just say when. Some drugs are okay, but in moderation. And then he lights up one of the Doobie Brothers. Am I saying that right?
Michael McDonald. Or
yeah.
Skunk Baxter.
I can't remember which one it was. But it was a little bit offsetting.
Well, so what's the update on this? Because I can't imagine. I mean, if I was NBC, I would find this guy and cancel his show again.
Yeah, hire him back and then cancel him. Wednesday's episode, I'm reading from the same article you saw, Newsbusters. Wednesday's episode of NBC's The Carmichael Show, called Intervention, ended with the star of the show giving a public service announcement encouraging people to use substances but don't abuse substances, and then lighting up a blunt. The episode explores the various ways the characters deal with stress. Nikisha drinks, Maxine takes Xanax, and Jared Carmichael smokes weed. During the episode, Maxine justifies her use of Xanax by arguing, hey, the world is stressful. I think it's okay that I need something to help me deal with that stress. At the end of the episode, Jared appears for one of NBC's signature The More You Know public service announcements, but instead of encouraging people to just say no, he says people should just say when to drugs. He tells people to use substances to be creative. He even encourages drug use and experimentation because the more you know yourself, the more you know your limits. There's no denying that this PSA normalizes and encourages drug use, especially following an episode that insists that people need substances to deal with stress. This is completely irresponsible, and it's shocking that NBC would put its seal of approval on a pro-drug message that doesn't even make a distinction between marijuana and heroin. At a time when drug deaths in America...
Well, he wasn't shooting up.
He was not shooting up. He was not. At a time when drug deaths in America are at an all-time high, NBC has just put itself on record as the network that endorses substance use. The more you know. That's what it says on Newsbusters.
I got to tell you, I can't see them signing off on this. I feel like this was part of the show and somebody was supposed to monitor it and didn't go that far.
I can't figure it out.
How would they approve that?
Years ago, Mindy Kaling, when her show was on NBC before they moved it, did one of these PSAs. And here's what it was. It was the same opening, the same star field with all the colors.
And then they show Mindy Kaling and she goes, guys. And then she rolls her eyes like that. And then it was the end. You know, then they show the end credits of the Starfield and everything. And I went, oh, that's really funny. That's them making fun of their own public service announcements, you know? So yesterday as I'm watching this, I'm going, I think that might be what's happening. But even if they were making fun of it, I don't think they'd show them lighting up and smoking and saying, hey, you need this to be more creative. Somewhere along the line, somebody went, yeah, that's not a good idea.
No, it's one thing if they didn't use the NBC The More You Know backdrop. Right. Then go ahead and do whatever you want, and they can choose whether or not they're going to air it. But
right.
To pose it as a PSA.
And it was in between the episodes with other commercials. That's why I'm saying I'm almost positive this is real. If they fooled me, good for them, because I bought it.
How could this be real, Bill? How could this be real?
I don't know. I know that the episodes, I know that he goes out of his way to try to be cutting edge on the show. Like, I only saw bits and pieces of both episodes. The first episode was, like we said, it was the different ways he and his friends deal with stress, and it was either Xanax or marijuana or something. And then in the second one, it had to do with the fact that they were using contraception. They were using a condom, he and his girlfriend, but the condom broke. So what do we do now? So I go, oh, that's a premise I don't remember from the Patty Duke show. I don't remember them ever doing that on the old TV. So I know that they're trying to be, out there and go, look, we're walking the line. Look at the dangerous line we're walking. I appreciate that. But.
Because they're Trojans.
Right.
Identical Trojans and one breaks.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know what to tell you, but I can't imagine that NBC had anything to do with that.
But they're responsible for their own content. And maybe they're so progressive that they all sat in a room and they all went, yeah, I think America's ready to see this. We tried Say No to Drugs. It wasn't entirely successful. So this is our new stance. Use some drugs.
Don't
use
it.
A lot of drugs. Use some drugs.
I don't like it at all. And Neil has a comment. Hi, Neil. Are you offended by this?
I am. I think it's wrong, and they shouldn't be showing drugs, people doing drugs and endorsing it on TV. But I got to tell you, I'm a little less offended by this than I am at the fact that there's a Candy Crush TV show.
I agree with you on that. Although I hear it's very exciting.
Well, it's Mario Lopez. Of course it's exciting.
But listen, the people like
right,
myself.
So that makes it less lame.
But obviously, Neil, you don't play the game. I do. I want to play it. I don't want to watch someone else playing it.
Right.
Okay, I watched it. It was pretty lame.
Was it?
Right.
Yeah.
All right.
Neil, thanks.
Thanks, Neil. We appreciate it. So that's more offensive.
Yeah.
All right.
We must take a break. We've got news and then more show. Bill and Wendy, WGN.
He knows which movies make you laugh and which ones make you cry. If you love films, then Dean's your guy. So grab yourself some popcorn. He will not talk about hard boys.
Guess who he is?
I know who he is, so it's not fair to me for me to answer, Wendy. But he's Dean. He's Dean Richards. He's America's favorite.
He's America's sweetheart.
Yeah, he's America's sweetheart.
Let's see you get out of this hole.
Dean.
Yeah,
he's hard to explain.
He's a guy.
He's very complex. He's all that.
Yeah.
Dean, what do you make of Shia LaBeouf?
I feel sorry for that poor guy.
I do, too. At
do
first,
you?
I just thought he was nuts.
Yeah.
And now I feel like he's somebody with a very serious addiction problem.
Yeah.
Very serious, certainly, well, I'll just say substance abuse problem, because I don't know what his substance of choice is that keeps landing him in trouble, like him getting arrested this past Saturday in Savannah, Georgia.
Yep.
He asked somebody on the street for a cigarette. When he was turned down, he became loud and belligerent and abusive with that person on the street. The cops were called. He ran into a hotel to get away from the cops, and they pursued him, and then became abusive and loud.
And racist.
And racist with the police. He was arrested for public drunkenness, obstruction, a variety of things for which they took him away. The body cam videos were rolling. And his full tirade was, you know, caught on video and has been released, and it's not pretty at all.
No.
It it's a pattern that we've seen over and over again several times with Shia LaBeouf, seemingly with problems with anger issues and with substance abuse issues. Yesterday, he issued still another apology, saying that he's apologized for this kind of thing way too many times. He realizes that he has a serious addiction problem and is going to seek some serious, a serious road to sobriety, I think was the exact words that he used. He apologized for his racist tirade and said that this is a low for him. This is an absolute low for him. So you hear people talk about that and saying that you've got to hit rock bottom before you can finally clean yourself up sometimes.
Right.
And hopefully, you know, that was this point for him where he realized that it's pretty bad what he's done this time. And I wish him well. I hope
he's a talented
he can
turn
actor. Himself around. He's only 31 years old. He's a young guy.
Yeah. Dean, I'm sure you remember this. Years ago, he had an incident in a Walgreens here in Chicago.
Yep.
And we were I was part of another station then, and we were telling the story on the air.
You were lame then.
And, yeah, back then it was awful.
I like you on this
but
radio
crystal
station.
Clear in FM though.
Yeah. Thank you for saying that. And today we'd be playing Christmas music on that station if I was still working there.
Really?
Yep. All right. So
I forgot you were there.
Yeah, I was there for a little bit. So all right. So we're telling the story, and we get two phone calls. One from somebody who says they were there in the Walgreens, and one from a police officer who says he was there. He got the call to come and take care of it. Both of those stories we did not take on the air, but the producer talked to both of them, and they said there was so many racist things that he was saying that you couldn't believe it. And they said that somebody from the publicity department of a movie, because he had a movie coming out like 2 weeks after, was paying people off, saying, even though you heard what you heard, here's $100. Let's say you didn't hear what you heard, you know? Does that kind of thing still go on?
Yeah.
It does?
Sure. Yeah, the publicity departments do whatever they can to put the best spin possible on, you know, whatever their product happens to be. Honestly, I'm shocked that it was as low as $100.
Right. You'd think it'd be more, right?
I would think that it would be much more. And that probably, well, yeah, that was like the year 2002, I think.
Right around there, yeah. Maybe a little later, but not much.
Yeah,
right around there.
The Walgreens at Michigan Avenue in Chicago is where that took place. And, you know, in these days where everything is caught on video, everyone's got a phone someplace, you know, that would be worth hundreds of thousands of dollars now to somebody if somebody were able to, you know, capture that.
Right.
So yeah, I'm not a bit surprised that somebody was paid off. I'm not surprised that a studio would do that because they've got millions of dollars on the line.
Right.
And you know, an incident like that could, you know, kill a project that they have coming out. And that one wasn't even that bad. That he was just belligerent and wouldn't leave the store. I mean, he wasn't even. Didn't go off on a racist tirade like he did this time.
Well, these people who called were telling us about the racist tirade that he did go on, but there was no mention of it in the papers or on TV, so whoever was handing people $100 to unhear what they heard, yeah, it worked.
If you've got $100, I'll forget what you just said.
That seems fair.
Clearly, I wasn't paying attention.
My price is higher, sorry.
Wendy goes 110. She can't be bought easily, Dean.
No. I'll go 80 and pass the savings along to the next guy.
That's fair. Yeah. That's very fair. And then really quickly, I'd love to get your comment on this because this is sickening too. James Woods sends out some very ugly tweets and gets called out by Neil Patrick Harris.
Ugh. James Woods commented, he retweeted a picture that a mother and father had put out on their social media of their little son at the Pride Parade, I think it was in Orange County, California, in which they said that they were proud of their, I forget the exact term, but their son is transgender.
Right.
And they said that they are proud of their son, that he's expressing himself properly, you know, as he sees fit. And the parents were being supportive and loving to their son. James Wood took that picture and said that, you know, basically it's great, commenting to these parents, it's great that you're posting the picture of your son like that. Wait until he dismembers your body and puts you in a freezer later in life for what you've done. And Neil Patrick Harris commented on that, saying, why don't you leave these people alone? He happens to know these people and knows that they're very fine parents.
Yeah.
And they're being supporting and loving to their son, and he should basically mind his own business.
Yeah, what business is it of his? Why Terrible. Does everybody judge everybody without knowing any deets? It really irritates
yeah.
me.
Yeah.
How about the words of the late, great Ann Landers? M-Y-O-B.
Was she ever more accurate than that?
Right. Mind your own business.
Right.
Some things.
That's absolutely true.
Or as Ann Landers would say, mind your own business.
Right. She might say it that way.
The
Stop
worst
it.
Ever Ann Landers impersonation.
I thought it was pretty good.
Ever.
All right. We must take a break.
You know, I had her in the studio there once. The
Ann
studio
Landers?
In which you're sitting. I had her in there once, and we actually had to dismember the door just to get her giant hairdo in the room.
Oh, no.
Terrible.
Dean Richards is here. He will tell us about the Emmy nominations
Trashing
that are just
Landers.
Out. Oh, you can't do that, Dean.
Terrible person.
And then War for the Planet of the Apes
oh.
has finally reached theaters. We'll find out if that's good or not. Stick around. It's Bill and Wendy along with Dean Richards on WGN. Dean Richards is here. Dean, the Emmy nominations came out earlier this morning. Any Correct. Surprises?
A couple of surprises that Transparent, which has been nominated for Best Series in a Drama.
Mm-hmm.
Is that the story of Donald Trump Jr.'s life?
Yeah.
What his life
yes,
is about is. To become. It's going to be a major transition.
It's Jeffrey Tambor's show.
Coming. It's Jeffrey Tambor and from Chicago and produced and directed by Chicagoan Jill Soloway.
Yeah.
Had been nominated for Best Comedy, actually, Best Comedy Series for the last 3 years. Not nominated at all this year.
Huh.
So don't know if the show is, maybe if the show is in total running out of gas. But the shows that did get nominated for Best Comedy are Atlanta, The Donald Glover Show, Blackish on ABC, which has had a phenomenal season this year. They've dealt with some very powerful, very important topics, but dealing with them in a very poignant yet humorous way. Aziz Ansari's Master of None
mm-hmm.
was nominated for Best Comedy Series. Modern Family hanging on in there.
Yeah.
Silicon Valley, Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt, and Veep also nominated for Best Comedy.
Strong list.
Yeah. On the dramatic side, Chicago's own Bob Odenkirk's Better Call Saul was nominated for Best Drama along with The Crown, The Handmaid's Tale, House of Cards, Stranger Things, This Is Us, and Westworld.
Oh, wow. Very
is, that a good, there. Is that a good awe or a bad awe?
It's going to be, I love Better Call Saul. I love This Is Us. I love Stranger Things. It's a tough competition.
Yeah, there's very definitely some great shows. It's nice that they've opened up the categories to more than just five.
Yeah.
They have, what do we have, like six, seven in each category now. So plenty of shows get some representation. And for the first time in a long time, lots of conventional commercial TV networks are getting nominations as well, like Blackish and Modern Family.
Yeah.
And This Is Us. For a while, it was strictly cable, and then it had become strictly online platform shows
like
Netflix or Hulu or Amazon Prime, whatever. So it's, I think, a little more varied of a list.
I didn't hear you mention Night Court. Is Night Court not
Night
up?
Night Court did not make it this time, I'm afraid. Right. Yeah.
Saturday Harry, Night Live, though, earned
for variety.
Some nominations.
Saturday Night Live got the most nominations that they have ever had in a season.
Alec Baldwin.
Both Westworld and Saturday Night Live got the most nominations of anything this year.
Wow.
22 nominations apiece. That's the most nominations that SNL has ever received in a single season. And they are crediting it for with Alec Baldwin and Melissa McCarthy's Sean Spicer. They were both nominated for guest series as well. So, yeah, they did really well. Other shows with multiple nominations include this feud with Betty and Joan.
Oh, yeah.
The Betty Davis, Joan Crawford.
About Whatever Happened to Baby Jane.
About Whatever Happened to Baby Jane, which I thought was awesome. It got 18 nominations. Veep got 17. Big Little Lies and Fargo tied with 16 nominations apiece. Game of Thrones, a lot of people have already gotten texts and things from people. Where's Game of Thrones? Not nominated, not eligible for nomination for this round. So I'm sure they'll be in next year.
They'll be back in. All right. Well, wow.
In the acting categories, yeah. Real quick, let me tell you that Viola Davis was nominated for Best Actress in a Drama, Claire Foy for The Crown, Elizabeth Moss in The Handmaid's Tale, Kerry Russell in The Americans, Robin Wright, House of Cards, and Evan Rachel Wood in Westworld. On the lead actors in a drama, Sterling K. Brown in This Is Us.
He's great.
Anthony Hopkins in Westworld, Bob Odenkirk for Better Call Saul, Matthew Rhys for The Americans, Liev Schreiber and Ray Donovan, Kevin Spacey in House of Cards, and Milo Ventimiglia in This Is Us. On the comedy side, nominated Anthony Anderson for Blackish, Aziz Ansari for Master of None. Have you seen the Zach Galifianakis show, Baskets?
Love it.
Bill
One
turned
of my
me
favorites.
On to that.
I think it's hilarious.
Yeah, it's great.
God. It's such a funny show. Zach got nominated. Donald Glover's Atlanta, From Atlanta. William H. Macy in Shameless. And Jeffrey Tambor did get a nomination
for
Transparent, which is great. On the leading actress side in comedies, Lily Tomlin and Jane Fonda, both from Grace and Frankie, nominated both of them. Tracy Ellis Ross for Blackish, Julia Louis-Dreyfus from Veep, Ellie Kemper from Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt, Allison Janney for Mom, and Pamela Adlon for Better Things.
Love that show so much.
That's a lot of talent. That's it's going to be a good show. When are the Emmys broadcast?
September the 17th is when they'll be on CBS. Stephen Colbert will be the host this year. Speaking of, he got nominated for Best Variety Talk Show. I think this is an interesting list. Best Talk Show. Variety Talk Show is the category, but it's talk shows, basically.
Yeah.
Real Time with Bill Maher.
Mm-hmm.
The Late Show with Stephen Colbert. Full Frontal with Samantha Bee.
Mm-hmm.
Last Week Tonight with John Oliver. Seeing any political slant here?
No, not at all.
At all?
Zero.
Also, The Late Late Show with James Corden and Jimmy Kimmel Live nominated. If you're Jimmy Fallon, I think you're feeling a little lonely.
Boy,
today.
He's the only one who didn't get nominated.
Got completely shut out of
wow.
that category.
Wow.
By some excellent shows and shows that have been razor sharp.
Yeah.
In their political satire
yep.
that they've been doing.
No question about it. We only have a couple minutes, Dean, but I've been looking forward to this. I've seen every Planet of the Apes movie in theaters. Please tell me this newest one is good,
you
please.
You will be absolutely delighted.
Good.
This is such a fitting ending to this trilogy that started, I think it was 6 years ago that it started with the Andy Serkis
mm-hmm.
Planet of the Apes movies. This one is called War of the Planet of the Apes, and there is a war that's going on between the humans and the apes, but it's more than just, you know, like big, large-scale battles that are going on. The actual large-scale battles are actually kind of primitive, but this movie is really about different kinds of wars, about emotional wars between the leaders of these groups. These are wars between the enslavement of those who you feel are different from you. These are deeply personal, emotional battles which are going on with both the humans and the primates that are involved in this. It's big, it's exciting, it's fascinating, technically, how they do these movies
yeah.
and how they create the apes in this movie digitally, led by the great Andy Serkis, who has played the Caesar character, sort of the head ape, the leader of the apes, who are just trying to live their lives while a renegade band of soldiers are trying to eradicate them from the face of the earth. Andy Serkis is so great in his dramatic parts. They digitally create all the ape exterior on him.
Yeah.
But even through all the hair and the physical change, when you look into his eyes or you see a slight turn of the eyebrow, subtle things, Andy Serkis is so genius. He should get an Academy Award. He's as good, if not better, than most actors who do not have all of that, quote, makeup on them. I especially love him, but I love the story in this movie. It's beautiful. It's fitting. It's touching. It's exciting. This movie really has everything. and I gave it a Dean's List B+.
Oh, excellent. I can't wait to see it.
And Talking Monkeys, do I have to say more?
No, sold.
The two of you.
That's why I still love Lancelot Link.
Secret Chimp.
Yeah, Lancelot Link, Secret Chimp. Talking Monkeys, pretty much guaranteed positive review for me every single time.
Wendy, a year ago, Dean and I held hands during Magilla Gorilla, the movie, and
right.
It was one of the most meaningful movie experiences of my life.
Yep.
Wait, there was a Magilla Gorilla movie? And why isn't
maybe.
There?
As far as you know,
maybe.
There was.
Maybe. There should be.
Maybe.
We want there to be.
Is Bubbles still alive?
Michael Jackson's monkey? I don't know.
Are you trying to break my heart?
I'm really curious.
I'm trying to ruin my Planet of the Apes high.
They live a long time, and I wanted to know who took custody once, you know, his master passed away.
I don't know the answer.
Kevin says Paul McCartney has Bubbles now.
I believe Bubbles the chimp has...
expired.
Onto his grave.
I'm so sorry to bring it down.
Award.
Dean, thank you so much. I hope you have a great weekend, and we'll talk to you in a week.
Have a great weekend, you guys.
That's Dean Richards, everybody. Dean. We'll find out what Steve has on the Wintrust Business Lunch next. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.